Blog Talk Radio.
Every praiser, lift your hand to the Lord. Every praiser, come on, come on, come on, lift your voice unto the Lord.
Flowers, and it's that time again. This is the third Monday of the month, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International. Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to the broadcast of Restore of Pastor Dwelling. I'm your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. Thank God for you, landline listeners, internet listeners, cell phone listeners, wherever you're tuning in and you're hearing the sound of this broadcast on tonight. I tell you, you are in a treat. There is a word from God on tonight. You are going to be blessed. And I truly do believe that song that you just got through listening to, that was the song from our CD release that you have heard us talking about with my good friend, Pastor Terrence Hall, and my wife, and many others. Shout out to Shalita and Shabazz and all my continuous flow, brothers and sisters. Amen. I'm part of that Terrence Hall Christian Artist and Continuous Flow. And that was one of the songs on the CD you just heard. And that's what I'm talking about right there, that we're supposed to praise God until his glory comes down. That's what worship is supposed to be all about. That's what praise is supposed to be all about, until the glory of the Lord fills the place and begin to come down. We begin to get lost in him and be lost in his presence. And that's when you enter to praise and worship, that's what it's all about. It's not just, you know, being all emotional and you know, and all that different things and stuff like that. But the point is that the glory of the Lord would show up. The point is that God begin to manifest his presence and begin to overtake us and begin to overwhelm us, begin to fill us, our very being and our soul, and that usher us into the presence of God, praise and worship. And that's what it's all about, so that God can begin to display his glory and begin to move in miracles, signs, and wonders. It's just preparing the atmosphere. Praise and worship is just basically preparing the atmosphere, amen, for God to begin to move in the atmosphere in the midst of his people. And it's to begin to break up the fallow ground and begin to break up and begin to remove demonic forces and different things in the atmosphere and surrounding around you or surrounding around basically the people of God, because there are demonic spirits that are sighing. You see, Satan cannot be present everywhere like God. He cannot be omnipresent like God, be present everywhere at the same time. So he assigned his demons and his imps and his master demons. I'm talking about master demons for those that are seasoned in God, that carry weight in God. So the enemy have to assign greater demonic forces to come against those that are seasoned in God, those that carry such a weight of God's glory and anointing upon their lives. So you have to use a master demon to try to pull them down or to work against them and so on. But then, like I said, you have your imps and your demonic spirits and everything like that. But what the enemy does, he assigns it. This is not the message for tonight, but I'm just going as the Spirit of God is leading me. But he assigns demon spirits to families, you know, homes, marriages, communities, regions, cities, territories. That's how the enemy does, because, again, he cannot be present everywhere at the same time like God, so he assigned these spirits everywhere like this to do his, you know, his bidding, to do what he would have them to do. But glory be to God for God, angels that he has given charge over us, and thank God for his anointing and the power and the authority that he had left behind with us when Jesus ascended on high. But the only way you can operate and begin to walk in that power and authority, you got to begin to pray, and you got to begin to seek the face of the Lord and begin to consecrate yourself unto God, so God can begin to release this power in this dimension into your life, so that you can be able to walk in the authority of the Lord. And God wants you to have an understanding on that, but that's not the word on tonight that God is going to begin to have me to minister on tonight. But I just want to share that with you, the people of God. I just thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. Thank God for her. Amen. My better half, mighty woman of God. Amen. And pretty soon you'll be hearing her. Again, I know you guys haven't heard her in a while, but I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be hearing her again, ministering on the broadcast. Amen. They call us the dynamic duo, me and her, ministering team ministry together. And I thank God for that. You know, sometimes some people look at us, call us Ananias and Aquila and Priscilla type ministry, my wife and myself. So But I just thank God for her. And again, I just thank God for those of you again that have been tuning in faithfully and listening to Restore Pastor Dwelling broadcast again every first and third Mondays at 8 p.m. And again, this is the third Monday of the month. And I thank God for Prophetess Teresa, and the founder of Kingdom Builders International, making this possible for you to hear quality, anointed men and women of God ministering to you. And I'm pretty sure that you're being blessed as you're listening to the men and women of God on Kingdom Builders International. But with that being said, I want to get right into the Word of God with the time, because I know time moves by quickly. It moves by real fast. So I want to be able to get right into the Word of God and share with you what God has given me for you, the people of God. But Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just declare and decree a supernatural move in the midst of your people. And Lord, I humble myself before you, Lord, and I know that I can do nothing without you, Lord. And I thank you for the anointing being released, Lord, through these airways, God, on tonight, wherever my voice, the sound of my voice is heard, God, even on the other side of the globe, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just pray that you begin to move in the midst of your people, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I just declare and decree, Lord, miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord God, a manifestation of your presence, of your glory. For, Lord, you are the healer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I just pray manifestation of healing take place, God, miracles take place in those that are going through physically in their bodies, God, going through emotionally. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, deliverance on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, that you begin to manifest your presence, begin to manifest your glory. God, such an outpouring of your spirit, Lord, I declare and decree in open heavens, Lord, over this broadcast on tonight or the daytime, wherever part of the globe this broadcast is being heard, God, maybe daytime on the other side of the world. But, Lord, I just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that your glory would be manifested in the midst of your people, Lord, those that need to be recharged again, Lord. I pray that you recharge them by your spirit, God. Supercharge them, Lord. Supernatural, Lord. In the name of Jesus, those that need a refreshing, let them be refreshed on tonight, God. Father, I pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus, those that need an infilling, God, that they be filled on tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray revelation knowledge be released on tonight, God. I pray that you begin to stir your people up, Lord. I break off spirit of stagnation, arrested development. I break off every curse, generational curse, bloodline curse, in the name of Jesus, of sickness and disease, of poverty, lack, and want on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now, God, that your angels be released, your ministering angels, your warring angels, Lord, on behalf of the people of God on tonight. Lord, we forever give you praise and glory and honor. Lord, I just pray that even financial miracles and financial blessings be released on tonight. I declare the decree promotions and raises in the name of, you know, on tonight, unexpected checks in the mail, Lord, that your people can cash and don't have to pay back. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, opportunities opening up for the people of God on tonight, Lord, that are listening. In the name of you, under the sound of my voice, Lord, I prophesy right now on tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You said, let every word be established, God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I just prophesy and I decree it in the name of Jesus on those that are listening on tonight, God, in the name of those that are standing in the need of you, God, in the name of you, those that are believing you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just prophesy right now, Lord God, whatever your people are standing in need, Lord, of, Lord, that not only that you meet their needs, God, but that you would give them their heart's desire as well. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, you said, in the name of Jesus, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let expectation be in the atmosphere. Let expectation be in the air, Lord. High expectation. Your people have high expectation on tonight. I rebuke the spirits of doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirits of double-mindedness and wavering in the name of Jesus. Your word declare, think not any man shall ask anything of you. But if they're double-minded, if they're wavering, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. But Lord, I speak, Lord, that your people will stand in faith and believe you and hold on to your promises, God, and what you have promised them, God, until they see the manifestation of it, knowing that you are God that cannot lie, nor you're not like us, the Son of Man. But you must repent. If you said it, that you will do it, Lord, and that your word will not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which it was sent out to do, the task it shall perform it, and it shall prosper it. And Father, I release your fire. I release your fire on tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord. I begin to ignite your people on tonight, Lord. Begin to ignite them in prayer, Lord. Begin to ignite them in the word. Begin to ignite them in their there. Walk with you. Begin to ignite those in their ministry. God, we feel like their ministries have died, Lord God, and they just lost hope, God, and got discouraged concerning their ministry. God, begin to ignite. Cause your fire to ignite ministries on tonight. In the name of Jesus, cause your people to be stirred up on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, Lord, that they have that passion and that hunger for you, that thirst for you again, God. In the name of you, let it be stirred up on tonight, God. Let their hunger and their thirst, God, and their passion for you never die. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen and amen. Well, God bless you, people of God. I thank God again for you and you tuning in and you're listening to this broadcast on tonight. I just want to encourage you on tonight. There is a word from God for you on tonight, and you're going to be blessed. And I just want to get right into the Word of God. I want you to grab a pad, get a pen, crack open those Bibles, the Word of God. You know, pull out the tablets, your smartphone. Begin to pull those the scripture, the Word of God out. I'm going to be coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 10th verse is going to be my foundational scripture that I'm going to minister to you on tonight, that God's going to share with you through the Holy Ghost. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding, I pray corporately, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling. In Jesus' name, thank God, amen and amen. And so what I want to minister to you, you very fine people, people of the kingdom on tonight, because I know that I'm talking to some kingdom people on tonight, not church people. I'm talking about kingdom people, kingdom-minded people on tonight, and I want to share with you about the glory that shall be revealed. That's the word on tonight that God's going to have me to share with you, people of God, the glory that shall be revealed. And again, my foundational scripture is coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. Go with me first. I'm going to come from the King James Version, and we're going to shift from that to the Amplified Version. And so the 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and 10th verse read as follows. It says this, that, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, I love how the Amplified Version begins to bring this out. It begins to say this, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. Oh, let's go back to that again. I just love how the Amplified Version had put this. After you have suffered a little while, how many of you can say that you have been suffering, you have been going through some things in your life, many of you have been experiencing some traumatic events, suffer some loss, suffer, you know, a loss in your health, going through physically in your health, and you know, suffering in your body, suffer some things mentally where you experience getting bad news or experience some traumatic experience in your life, whether it was mental abuse or physical abuse, and or you suffered some kind of traumatic experience in your life. But I want to bring out a point here. I want to bring out there's two types of suffering that I want to bring out on tonight. I want to bring out, put the emphasis on suffering. I know a lot of times we don't like to suffer. Nobody likes suffering. Nobody likes experiencing, you know, heartaches and pains and be traumatized and go through bad experiences and events. But let's talk about suffering for his name's sake, suffering for righteousness' sake. So, and then there's a suffering because of pride and because of rebellion that we can go through, also suffer because, you know, we don't want to obey God, and we don't want to do his will, and we want to do it our way, and we want to be prideful and lifted up in ourselves and so on. We don't want to submit to God. We don't want to submit to God's purpose and plans for our life, so then we can go through and suffer because of our rebellion, because of our disobedience. So that can cause a suffering to come into our life and take place into our life, when God has to begin to humble us. And let me tell you, you don't want God to humble you. It's not a good thing for the Lord to humble you. And I know a lot of times people say, well, I'm not going to do God. Going to have to humble me. No, my sister, no, my brother, you don't want God to humble you. Nobody know how to get to you better than our Father, better than our Creator, better than our Maker, because God knows us better than ourselves. So I advise those not to say it's going to take God to humble me in order for me to do what God would have me to do, or to get my attention and so on and everything like that. I know many of you may have heard me share on some past broadcasts that I've run into or came across the path of some men of God in ministry that had shared with me that it took some kind of tragic thing to happen in their life in order for them to obey the call of God upon their life, you know, because they were running from the call of God. And so they had to suffer some things, you know. As many of you may have heard on the past broadcast, heard me share with you that some of them may, you know, have got caught up in a tragic fire where they got burnt up all over their body and everything, and then because they were running from the call of God on their life and being, you know, what they always didn't want to answer the call of God. And so, but glory be to God that as this person's man of God that I met, that he said he was burned beyond recognition, that I will never believe that he was caught in the fire. His skin was like baby skin and just perfect and clear, no blemishes or anything. You would never believe that he was burnt in a fire. And he said it wasn't until he obeyed God and he answered the call of God on his life that God miraculously cleared up his skin and caused that burnt up skin, third degree burn, to fall off and cause him to have baby skin and to begin to restore his skin all over again. And not so many people are blessed like that to have a testimony like that. You have some of those that may have experienced something like that and didn't obey God, but then that's left upon them as a reminder. You know, they still, you know, have that scar and so on them as a reminder. But then there's some that like, as you heard me say, that are blessed with God miraculously healed. And I've ran into some that have lost limbs because they didn't want to obey the call of God in their life. There are those that have struggled and lost everything and is out there on the street all because, you know, they have hardened their hearts and they don't want to be obedient to the will of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. And I'm talking about not just only those that are called, but I'm talking about generally those that God is calling unto salvation as well. You know, want them to be saved, reaching out to them, drawing them. The Word of God said, can no man come except the Father draws them. So I know a lot of times we can try to preach fear. All we want, oh, you're going to hell. Or, you know, you don't repent, you're going to hell. They already know where they're going. They already know, you know, what their fate is. But is that true repentance when we're preaching fear in you know, that the fire and brimstone message into a person? And a lot of times when we're preaching a fear tactic type of message, you know, that person will come, yes, they'll give their life to the Lord, and then next, you know, you don't see them next Sunday. You don't see them anymore. But they came at that moment because they were in fear. They were afraid. That thought in their mind, oh, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn and different things like that and be tormented. But it was fear what caused them to come to the altar. It was fear that caused them to confess, as you say, Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. It was a temporary type of thing. But, again, it goes back to it's the Father that draws them. Can no man come except the Father draws them? So when the Father begins to draw a person, draw one, know that it's God drawing them and they're going to stay in it because it's God drawing them. And that's what's going to keep them when they come. Yes, you may have some that may stumble along the way or may go away because they're not rooted and grounded or they're not where God would have them to be. But know that the Father's still working on them and drawing them and calling them to themselves until they come into that place that he have ordained for their lives and where he wants them to be, or to get them around those that can encourage them or be mentors to them or speak into their life and be encouragement and everything unto them. But again, getting back to the Word of God, it says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own. You hear that? Through your suffering, I'm talking about suffering for righteousness' sake, suffering for his sake, The word of God says that after you have suffered a little while, I'm talking about those of you that's not being rebellious. I'm talking about those of you that have been suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, being persecuted. I'm talking about to the point where family is talking about you and lying on you, and those that you thought was your friend have turned away from you and slandered your name. And I'm talking about that kind of suffering because you took a stand and you didn't want to compromise. And God is shifting you. God is causing a promotion to take place for those of you. A promotion is on the horizon for you, and the Lord is saying to you, there's some things that you have to give up. There's some relationships that you had to give up in order for him to take you into this next dimension in him.
Your life, God, your door, heart. within you. And then it was said that, like, so I know we can pray that certain things, Lord, give me patience. Is it that God's going to give you patience, or is he going to allow circumstances to arise so that patience can develop in you? Or is it that you can pray for the Lord, give me faith? Is God going to impart faith into you? Or is it that God's going to allow circumstances, a situation to arise that is going to cause you? I mean, so that's how God operates. Amen. So again, there's two types of suffering, righteousness, Satan, and rebellion. I'm going to break this down. The strong Greek definition of suffering is this: suffer evil, endure affliction, experience painful hardship that seems to be a setback, but really isn't. You know, let me read that one more time. You suffer evil, you endure affliction, you experience painful hardship, but really isn't. To you, the enemy wants you to look at it as a setback. It seems like, you know, you have the world saying, you know, they say this, oh, it's like when I take one step forward, I get two steps, get knocked back two steps back, and so on and everything, and it looks like a setback to you. It's all, but it's not a setback. I tell you, when you have been focused on the things of God, you have been paying the price for the Lord, and you have been diligent in the things of God, don't let the enemy try to trick you and say it look like not moving forward. Don't let the enemy tell you and lie to your hearing to get the calf that time, to get the tape authority over the enemy saying it don't look like nothing that you're doing is working. You're doing all the praying, you're doing all the fasting and reading the word, you're encouraging people, you're doing all the so much, but different things are happening in your life. It's like you set back or take place in your life, and it seems like things are going backwards in your life. It looks like you've been expecting that promotion on the job to have given it to someone else, but you don't understand. It looks like you were a candidate for that promotion on the job, or you just don't look good, and you know, and all you believe in God for that. And so, yes, it looks like a setback right now, but it really isn't. God wants me to tell you that it really isn't. God got better for you. God knows what's best for you. And it, right now, maybe you got to believe in God for some things, to do some things in your life. And it looks like things are not for your son. And then it seems like they're bound by drugs and out there running street. And it seems like just the enemy got his grip, his hold. But it seems like it's getting worse and worse the more you know, you hear news, negative reports about your son. And it just looks like nothing happening yet. I'm telling you, it looks like it's best sent back to you, but it really isn't. That's different smoke screen of the enemy. I'll tell you, you're doing damage from the realm of the spirit. God wants you to continue to keep praying, keep on hitting those demonic forces, keep on hitting those spirits in high places, keep on interceding, keep on pulling down the strongholds of the enemy. I tell you, breakthrough is taking place. Things are happening. Things take place first in the spirit, then you begin to see it materialize in the natural realm. And now you know that that's happening because it looks like it did. Stop you from praying for them. Stop you from interceding for them. Say, it looks like it's not working at all. Let me just forget about it. Just give up. No, keep praying. Keep, because you're breaking things up, and the Spirit of God is moving on your behalf. Things are happening in the realm of the Spirit. So the Lord wants me to tell you on today, don't stop praying for your son. Don't stop praying for your daughter. For the, yes, they're coming in. Yes, they're coming in. God is going to deliver them, begin to bring them in into the kingdom of God. God is right now drawing them right now, and God wants you to continue to pray. I know they took you through some hard times. I know they stole from you. I know they did said some things that you, cursed you out and all these various things, but God wants you to keep praying for them. God wants you to walk in forgiveness because it's not them. Again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Against what? The Word of God also says this, that we are seated in heavenly places. So begin to pray for the vision of being seated in the heavenly places. Amen. And use that authority. Use, amen, the anointing that God has given you. Amen. To pray that person through. And you had to take someone to pray us through. When the enemy had us bound, when we were going through our situation, songwriter said, somebody prayed for me. They took me the time. And they had me on the mind. They took the time to pray for me. And began to say, I'm so glad somebody, that they prayed. They prayed for me. And so, you got somebody interceding. the earth realm, because it takes you, God, using you to speak and release it, the word of the Lord, into the earth realm. Now, I know with me, you know, being a prophet myself, not just holy, and, you know, an apostle of the Lord, crying out and desiring for the Lord to use you and want you in the prophetic ministry, because that's on your life. The call of God is on your life. The prophetic ministry is on your life, and you get in a place where you have not been able to really utilize what God has given you, or really been able to grow in that. And God wants you to be able to grow in that. It's like the enemy trying to swim in that, try to kill that. But the prophetic ministry within you, I just speak life unto you, that prophetic ministry in you will not, shall not die, that it shall come to pass. I speak the wisdom of God upon you, and upon your life, that you will operate out of the wisdom of God, with the gifts of the Spirit and the character of God, the fruits of the Spirit. Therefore, that we have the fruits of the Spirit, when operating out of the gifts of God. It don't matter how gifted we can be, but if we don't have any character in our past, we're all going to say, my overseer, Apostle Miller, would always say, it's always, when we preach and touch on the importance of humility and touch on the importance of character and walking and holiness, but that's how character is. Integrity is in walking, associated in walking in holiness. You mentioned about the holiness. No. What did God say? Be ye holy as I am holy. There's no getting away from that's what walking a life before the Lord is, walking in holiness and then walking in sanctification. Sanctification is not a denomination. Again, I want to reiterate. Sanctification is not a denomination. All those that are born in the kingdom of God, that are that confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, become sanctified, which is means set apart, set aside for the use of the Lord. Sanctification is basically is separating you from. So we can't sit up and say, I love my hip hop, I love this type of music, that type of music, song, which is not really feeding our spirit man and building us up. But actually, there's actual spirits behind a lot of music, world of music that, you have those that listen to, you have saints of God listen to as well. There's actual spirits behind that. That's another time, another teaching. Delivers on that, but I do want to say this: we need to listen to something that's going to edify and build our spirit, not where we're bound up anymore. Because all it does when we listen to worldly music and different things like that, all it does cause us to reminisce. So you ought to be honest with yourself. It really causes the intimate reminiscence, taking you back in the day. You think about all back in the day, and we need to be real with ourselves. And so we don't need to be having memory recall of going back in the day. How it was back in the day, when you was with this person, because that's all it does, just conjure up spirit. And like I said, that's for another teaching at another time. Amen. But I'm getting back to suffering. But I love what the Mary with the dictionary of my suffering has been. Says it's to experience pain, illness, or injury, something unpleasant, such as defeat, loss, or damage, to become worse because of being boldly that affected by something. To submit to or be forced to endure, to put up with, especially as inevitable or unavoidable. So we experience suffering in our life, something that has been inevitable or unavoidable. There's no getting around it, or something like, from your job, that was something that you couldn't stop. And you weren't really expecting that. So that happened. And now, just what is that happen? Support, your family, your way of life, taking a meal, or that situation, all that you needed, your resource in terms of working on the job, useful. So now you just suffered a loss of income to the hit in your finance. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that there's restoration that is about to come. Those that experience loss in the workplace, those that you experience loss in your business, those that experience loss in your physical body, I tell you, God is about to restore you. There's restoration is about to come into your life where you have endured, where you, like I said, we have to stand for the Lord. You do not compromise regardless of the heat. Boys, I know a lot of times how it is there, and we really don't give you no revelation out of that. But let me tell you tonight, because you didn't compromise, because you didn't bow or bend to the will of the enemy, for God, how the enemy try to slam your name, talk about you, allow you, try to take you through some knowledge, take you through some things. You didn't allow the enemy to heal you, give into your flesh, give into yourself. He didn't got upset, you know, as you heard me say earlier, because you didn't give into the enemy. It's like these are being turned up even more. And that means because you're getting close to your breakthrough, you're getting close to the picture, you're getting close to your promise. Like you're about to enter in to what God has promised you. Like you're about to enter in what you've been praying for, what you've been looking to God for many years to come to be released. Testimony after this broadcast, and I would encourage you, God, you know, call in and share those of you listening on this broadcast. If they have been a blessing, if God has given you to encourage them to pray for them, speak the word of the Lord, move in your life, I would encourage you, and when the lines are open, to share your testimony. If God has moved on your behalf, share your testimony what the Lord has done for you, because it encourages us even more. Not only do we experience warfare ourselves as leaders, as those that walk in the fivefold ministry gift office? The enemy comes at us dumb. And then what we deal with dumb, that's because we are in a place of influence. And so if the enemy can pull us out of our place of influence and bring shame going on, and they see something going on, you know, with the leader, and then all of a sudden begin to start stirring up something with the latent sheep, and then all of a sudden, you know, they seem to stop it. They're saying, you know, they're leaving them praying for their leader, because their leader going through something, they be trying to discourage their leader. And so they begin to tend to turn around and start talking about their leader and start gossiping and all this stuff that they're praying for their leader. And because not only because your leader's praying for you, and not only dealing with and get those demonic spirits off your back, or you can come out of your home and taking authority and so on. Like I said, he's not only dealing with or hurt as well. And like I said, it's a double type of warfare that we experience of men and women of God, because the enemy hates the ministry of deliverance, he hates the prophetic ministry. And anytime the enemy is involved and deliverance takes place, the enemy, a lot of times, like to try to have it. So we just come against backlash, against those that are laboring. Thank God, I'm not just going to talk about the five-fold ministry, but I'm talking about the saints that are laboring in the vineyard, suffering for righteousness. Things that I experienced, that I give more encouragement and a blessing to those that were going through in the season of their life and not going through in the season of your life. Why I'm encouraging you tonight to be in high expectation. Your suffering is not it's not in vain. And the Word of God says in 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, have you have suffered a little while, blessing and favor is about to take place. Blessing and favor is about to happen for you, woman of God. Blessing and favor is about to happen for you, son of God. Blessing and favor is about to take place for you, daughter and son of God. So I want you to be encouraged unto tonight. In Philippians 3:10 says this. You know what, before I go down, I'm going to be ahead of myself. I know my time is just about running out, because I want to be able to remind you to be open so that I can help. Just to touch some of you on tonight, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'm just going to go through this right quick. I don't want you people of God to hear the word of God, and so that we're going to go through some things, experience some things in our life. I know many of you have experienced the life been addicted, or your house was repossessed, or your car was repossessed. You know, what you experience that in your life, where you have to move out of your home and you stay in shelter. You know, I know because I've been there. You know, years ago, I experienced going through that. And when you go through something like that, it's in your life and in your life. And that's a time of testing for you. What God is doing, he thinks that you really love him. He says, you know, you need some of these different things to happen in your life. And I want to see you really love him, like, you know, if I allow the enemy to come in to strip me of this, strip me of that, let's see, do you really love me like you say? I bet you do. And so suffer some things in ministry. Suffer those that need the best of it in ministry. I'm going to talk to pastors and then leaders and overseers and then only for the person to turn around and bite your hand, and only to turn around to those to walk out on you and everything like that. So, but I'm here to tell you that God, God is going to begin to multiply unto your ministry. This is just a test. When you say if you caught up with the people, if you want to call up with these are your members, these are your sheep, the sheep and the members of the below you. They are of God, which is overseers, which is managers of God's people. Amen? Amen. So it's just a test for you. God is, you should do what God would have you to do so far as equipping them, building them up in the word, feeding them, concerning the word of God, pushing them, those that have called on their life, pushing them so far as getting them active in the things of God, encouraging them to step out and begin to do the work of the Lord, or you're going to allow and give in to the enemy causing insecure to take place. When you feel insecure, it's like, well, because they're more gifted, than me, they're going to have the attention going to be on them. And I look, I'm taking this from my members, and all this nonsense that's going on. You allow God to deal with your insecurity. Allow the Lord to deal with you. That's why we go through these seasons, in our life of being tried and tested from the pruning in our life, because God would purge all this stuff out of us so that we can be look like Him, Jesus Christ, because we have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. And the Word of God said that He don't dwell in no unclean temple. So God wants to remove those things out of us that would hinder us, hinder our light, really shining the way it's supposed to be. That, man would see our good work to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Because God wants to get the glory out of our life, not us glory, not us stealing and taking the glory from God, but God wants us to, God wants to get the glory out of our life. God wants us to humble ourselves and serve. The higher that God takes us, the more humble we're supposed to become, the more we're supposed to serve. Away with our bodyguards, you can't even get close enough to shake the past, the hand, the phone, everything like that. I've been to some places like that. Let me just leave it at that. So with the time that I have left, I just want to share this. And we're going to begin to open up the lines on tonight. But the whole purpose is this. I want to say this. Paul was a perfect example. Paul said about this. He said, Christ is our teacher. Why? In the sea. The perils among all brethren, my God. See that, man. Almost every other word you hear Paul say in perils. And he said, weary, painful, and watch off, and hungry, thirsty, fast off, and cold, and naked. Paul, the Apostle Paul, a mighty man of God, suffered with all these things. And some of the things that I made just can't relate to what Paul was going through. The very same point is this, Philippians 3:10 says like this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, he made conformable unto his death. There's a dying that takes place when you suffer for the Lord. He said, if you suffer with me, then you shall reign. Now, how many want to reign with the Lord? I know you have a desire to reign with the Lord. And so the word of God says is that God takes pleasure in love. I know it sounds like what kind of God is that? That love, those that suffer. For him, it pleases God. And who know better than suffer than Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior? There's no word that can explain the suffering. That he was, he had a moment in the garden. Jesus operated as the Son of God. Operated as the Son of Man. That was it. And I like to say, a compassionate side. That was the side where when he went to stone, the woman caught it the very act of adultery. And Jesus began to stoop down and write it and say, actually, what, according to the law, trying to get him caught up. What you do, the Son of Man side kicked in. I believe that when he began to write the sand, if you draw the line to the right, I believe he began to write the names of the person that slept without saying that he's writing the name now. Mike. Peter and this person and that person, writing these different person's names down, people names down, and they begin to drop their hook. That's my thing. Drop my stone and turn and go the other way. So, but my point is, what are you saying, Apostle? My point is this. The Son of Man shot and began to kick in the garden. Jesus began to say, Lord, if you're not with us, come pass from my lips. Because he saw what he had to suffer. He saw what he had to endure and go through for us. That was the God. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. Somebody ought to say that on tonight. Just say that on tonight. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will. The fine will be done. Amen. The fine will be done. And I tell you, I want to leave you with this, people of God. As Peter said this to Jesus, he said, Lord, we have left Paul to follow. Jesus had to come back and say this. He said, Jesus had to answer Peter like this. He said, Peter, verily I say unto you. He said, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children. He shall receive a hundredfold now at this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and land, persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. You hear that? People got to be honest. Praise God over that scripture right there. Mark, the 10th chapter, the 29th and the 30th verse. You ought to rejoice over that right now. Somebody ought to give God some praise right now. That's what God is about to get ready to do with your life. You lost that house. You lost that job. You lost that spouse. That ended up in divorce. Oh, man. You lost your children out of home. And allow me to even try to whisper in your ear and tell you to curse God. And just die. You ought to just curse God. Just die. Give up what you did. What you did. This is your time to praise God because you're about to receive a hundredfold blessing. Amen. You ought to rejoice, people of God. You're about to receive a hundredfold blessing. Even though you have lost, but you're about to gain. You're about to gain the right relationship. Amen. That husband that God has given in your life. That wife that God has ordained in your life. God had to sever that ungodly soul tie that you have. You thought that one was the one for you, and it was not. For you. So that's why you had to go through some things in your life because God was unbreaking that and God was with some things. And I tell you that promotion is on the way. God got better for you in the job. God is about to resurrect that business. God is about to resurrect that ministry, man of God. Oh my God, you thought the ministry died, but God is here to say to you, man, it is not. I'm about to resurrect. You had to suffer some things. You had to go through some things so that my power can rest. Upon you, son, my power to rest upon you, daughter. And in closing, Romans 8 says like this, 8 and 18, better defines this whole thing of suffering. It says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory in us, and it's worth it all. That's the whole point of my time. So, before God, and I want to say this, in Romans 10 and 9, Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And though you may be listening to him, the sound of my voice, you may not be saved. You may be listening to the Lord. The Lord has been drawing you into night and you're not saved. And so the Lord wants you. He's calling you. He has need of you. He has need of you. He has need of you. I'm saying it to you tonight. The Lord has need of you. The Lord wants you to be up to. He's calling you unto himself. Come on, tonight. If there's a reason to just repeat after me, God will get you. If there's no sin too great that you committed or did, that God will not forgive. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. The Son who came to the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins. I now confess all my sins. I claim forgiveness. I believe that your blood is now all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, sanctifying me in your blood. And you pray the prayer that the angels of heaven are rejoicing over you. Amen. You're saved. Others of the people of God will turn you to get into a life of the Spirit of God. Believe in the whole and love your own church. Or take it to whoever is going to be off in the church. Get into it. Get somebody, get with somebody that's more seasoned than you. The word of God, vision of the house. I want to encourage you to connect with the vision of the house. With that being said, speak up and do something. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Anyone have anything they want to share or feel tonight before I close out on tonight? Feel free to do so. Amen. Well, bless God. Bless God. Well, I thank God for the internet listeners, landline listeners, cell phone listeners, those that have been tuning in into this broadcast, the looking to the school pass to dwell in. Flowers, my ministry is called Repair the Breach International Ministry. I pray that you be better, to life, to strength, courage, and strength. Lord, and Lord, God, I pray that you be motivated to your life. I pray that you be strengthened and strengthened. I pray.
believe it, if you believe that tonight, if you believe that tonight, I want you to lift up a sound, and I'm going to tell you why. Lift up your voice and shout unto the Lord tonight. Come on, lift up your voice and shout unto the Lord tonight. We are shouting tonight because we declare that the way things have been are not the way they're always going to be. Things in the spirit are much different than the things in the natural. We don't allow the things that we see to shape our belief, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There may be Goliaths in the field challenging the armies of God, but in every generation, God has a David that knows how to cut off the head of Goliath. I believe David's in this room. I believe David's are watching. God has need of you tonight. I said God has need of you tonight. This is the generation that will announce to the world